Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The discussion of the rain continues, and why wouldn't it? We're building an arc on the Walk of Fame. We're going to need more lumber, but this is ridiculous. How long has it been raining?
It's been raining, except 40 days and 40 nights.
Which is why we're building the arc. Stupid question by me.
Well, it started Saturday afternoon, and it basically has rained except for a few hours yesterday
morning. It hasn't
stopped.
Yeah.
Now, they got the Cubs game in, but they had to wait for a while.
And I can tell you right now, the radar has a giant hand of God sort of shape with rain everywhere on it. So
yeah, it's ridiculous. God, yeah.
Hey, we get a reprieve tomorrow, but then it comes back on Thursday.
I wish they would.
Rain's back on Thursday?
Yeah, the rain's back on Thursday.
I wish they would have just called off the game.
Friday, we got a little bit of rain in the forecast. And
what about Saturday?
Saturday, we possible
shower.
What
about Sunday?
Doesn't go all the way
there. Doesn't go all the way there.
What about next week?
We'll check the almanac.
But I can tell you this. It doesn't get above 55, maybe 57. Doesn't get above 60 the whole time.
You call this May? I say no.
It's okay. Look at the beautiful flowers that are just growing. And the fields are plentiful and fresh. I'm tired of it, too.
Yeah, we can't enjoy them because it just keeps raining. Can't go outside and look at anything nice.
We didn't have time during the rain delay last night. You were watching the game, and you had time during the rain delay to go out and look at the flowers.
I was watching Dancing with the Stars.
All right, who got eliminated?
Nancy Kerrigan.
Good.
No, that's not good. She was doing really good, and the Bachelor's gone, too. It was a double elimination night.
They're all annoying.
Did somebody hit her with a skate?
The Bachelor got eliminated? David Ross is still in?
David Ross is still in.
Oh, my God.
I think everybody is just voting so much for him that that's how he's staying in, you know?
Which of the other female contestants whacked Nancy Kerrigan in the knee with a baton?
Simone Biles. Simone Biles. Simone whatever. The gymnast. Yes. She's still there.
Yeah.
And
she's about as tall as her knee.
Yeah. She's very, very little. Very little.
So David Ross is still... Don't you get the sense that... I've watched this a couple weeks now. Don't you get a sense that David Ross just wants to go home?
I don't know. He just keeps saying in every show, well, I don't know what's going on. You know, like, it should have been me, But it was pretty interesting last night. You know, he just keeps, he's cute when he performs.
He's a winner.
He's just really
all
cute.
All he
and,
does is win.
Yeah. And they love him. Everybody loves him. Yeah. But I think he's a nice guy. Yeah. Normani should win, hopefully.
Armani, the designer?
Normani.
Oh.
Normani. Yes, that is her name.
Armani was on the show.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I saw something last night on the show. I must have seen an hour of the show last night. And I saw something last night on the show that struck me as odd. And it's a strange way to open the show today, but I do have a question. I didn't know that women had gas. I didn't even know that.
Oh, you saw that, huh? I was going to bring it up, but...
And one of the professional dancers,
right?
The 20, 21-year-old...
That would be Lindsay.
She had a little gas problem, and they all giggled about it, and she talked about how she farted.
In David Ross's face.
Wait. Was this during a dance?
No,
it was
this
practice.
Is the practice session. But my question is it the millennial women talk about this stuff now?
Yeah, pretty much do.
Let's go back to the Gilded Age where women didn't talk about gas.
It's kind of gross. I mean, it's overall in general, even when guys talk about it.
Yeah, in my house.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about it from men either.
No, I don't want to hear about it from
Steve
anybody.
Steve knows.
No.
I'm punching myself in the face.
Yeah.
And in my house, that was the F word. That was the F word we could not.
Yeah, I don't need to hear that.
Yeah.
And ABC left it in.
Yeah, I couldn't
believe it. It's not like they couldn't have edited that.
You could actually hear the sound of the thing happening?
I think they projected the sound, don't you?
They sweetened it?
Yes.
No, but they're mic'd up.
That's a bad word,
but think
Steve.
About it. They're mic'd up everywhere.
Their butt is mic'd up?
That's where their pack is.
That was David Ross, because it was right in his face, so he had a mic up probably on his,
I'm just going to ask, how loud does it have to be picked up by a mic? I mean...
If it's a boom...
Andrea?
I think you're missing the primary question here. The primary question here is not that it was heard. The primary question is, when did women start talking about it like it was
Women don't. I'm just going to speak. I'm just going to stand up for women in general. We don't sit there and discuss
that.
No,
we don't.
Never.
No. And you know what? God bless you for that.
Thank
you. Good for you.
And Andrea, if you would have seen the picture, she was doing a cartwheel upside down. You know how they do the cartwheels upside down right in his face.
Oh,
that's
no.
And here's what we don't want. We don't want Laura the cable guy. Larry the cable guy is fine, you know, in limited doses. We don't need Laura the cable guy.
The cable girl.
Andre, were you talking about the boom microphone or the boom that it actually made?
The boom mic. Okay. The boom mic.
You guys do understand you're actually talking about something you think shouldn't be talked about, right?
That's a good point, too.
Thank you.
That's why we're moving on. Yeah. Traffic now in your top six at six. Oh, the president should really not talk.
It's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
I'm going to combine two of the top six right off the bat. The president probably isn't going to be doing any interviews today, tomorrow, or for at least a few days. Or will he do even more? President Trump stuck his foot in his mouth again and again and again and again and again and again. On Monday, he said he'd consider meeting North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Some experts remarked and reflected on the influence of China on President Trump. They've long urged the U.S. to speak directly with Pyongyang. That'd be the capital of North Korea. But it was when Trump said he would be honored to meet with a man who shot his uncle and family members with an anti-aircraft gun, who fed another uncle to rabid dogs, and who regularly starves his people, and puts people in work camps, including a couple of Americans, for things like a rumor that they were talking in a negative way about the government. The word honored doesn't belong. Sean Spicer tried to clean it up, but then Trump made it a little bit tougher. Because in an, I don't remember if it was the same interview, a separate interview. He walked off a CBS interview yesterday morning. He had a rough day with the interviews. But he was talking about his favorite president, Andrew Jackson. And we'll get to the sound on both of these stories in just a second. But in regards to the Civil War, he said Andrew Jackson was really angry about it. And Andrew Jackson questioned, caused him to question why there was a Civil War in the first place. Again, more in a second on this. Let me just sort of roll up some paper here and move on. More nightmare out of Syria. A Syrian war monitoring group and Kurdish activists said a surprise attack in northeastern Syria from ISIS killed at least 22 people, including displaced civilians. The attack took place early Tuesday their time. When militants sneaked into the village, a village there, which houses a temporary displaced camp for people fleeing. You just can't wrap your head around it. I mean, these are refugees. These are people who are running from the violence, who are killed running from the violence. God bless them. Moving on. Steve told you the Writers Guild of America agreed, and Hollywood Studios have agreed on a very last-minute deal, like last-minute deal. They extended their deadline three times before they came to a three-year contract, which means all your favorite TV shows will still be on the air. Even though I think most of TV is crap, generally speaking, it's good news. A Joliet toddler found dead. The report's now coming out that said there was a serious degree of filth in the home where the toddler was found. Andre, do we know anything else about that?
Yeah, they actually have basically sealed off the house, Steve. They've condemned it. They call the conditions to live there or even be in that home deplorable. That was, I think, what happened at first when they searched the house. They did a quick search of the house when she was reported missing, and there was just hoarding and piles on top of piles. And at one point, Will County said, Steve, that as many as 15 people were living in that home. Squatters. So it was just deplorable conditions. No light, no electricity, and, of course, just a lot of filth. Very sad story.
Anybody been charged yet?
No charges yet.
And last on our list, a deadly knife attack in Texas. We're seeing more of these knife-wielding nuts. A man carrying a Bowie knife killed a student at the University of Texas at Austin on Monday and wounded three others. Meanwhile, in San Diego. I love San Diego. But I find it hard I find it hard to focus on anything other than just sitting outside and going, man, isn't it great here?
Right.
And there was a party, a pool party in San Diego, where a guy who had been dumped by his girlfriend showed up at the pool party, sat in a chair, and shot people. Now, obviously, people ran, but not before the damage was done. This was as he called the woman that dumped him and let her listen.
That's awful.
You know, there's nothing in a relationship that's so precious or so great that you should commit murder over it. I don't know how else to put it. And I'm always amazed when people snap and move on. But, you know, getting dumped sucks. Mm-hmm. Dumping somebody else sucks. It's painful, but life goes on. You know, and you have to have enough value in your own life to move on. And maybe this person broke up with this individual because she saw that he was off the deep end. But come on, man.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what people think about the value of life, period. If it's, I mean, it must be so low among some people, they just don't even care.
What's remarkable,
well said.
Seven people shot, one dead. It's remarkable with the extent of the ammunition that this person had that more people weren't killed.
And so he just sat there, sat there.
On the phone with her.
Just sat there shooting people. Incredible. All right, I want to jump back to this Trump story because you knew I would. Kim Jong-un is not someone you would be honored to meet with. I don't know that you could ever get anything of any substance out of a meeting with him. I'm not saying there shouldn't be discussions of it. But the idea that you would meet with Kim Jong-un, I don't think so. I want you to hear the words of the president himself. Mike, I gave you the wrong cuts here. Cuts two and three are actually what I'm looking for. Let's start with cut two here. Here's President Trump on being honored to meet with Kim Jong-un in a Bloomberg interview. This is in his own words.
If it would be appropriate for me to meet with him, I would be honored to do it. If it's under the... under the right circumstances.
Now, again, I've heard the geniuses on the news networks talk about how this is Trump's strategy. I must remind you again, he has no strategy. There may be strategy discussed in rooms where you try to raise Kim Jong-un up to some level where he's not quite as nutty. But keep in mind, he hasn't even talked to his number one ally. He's never met President Xi of China. Never met him. Never met him, never talked to him. And if he's not talking to him, what does he have to say to us or to our Secretary of State, Tillerson, or to our people?
What was
I don't know how you handle it, but you're not honored to meet with him.
What was completely uncomfortable, too, Steve, is the Sean Spicer reaction trying to cover that and ABC News pressing him, saying, an honor. And he said, well, you know, when John Carl said, what did he mean by that? He said, well, he assumed power at a young age. He took over for his father. I honestly couldn't believe the damage control that was trying to come out of his mouth.
Yeah, well, this is from a guy who didn't know that Hitler used chemical weapons. And now we have a president who's a little confused about the Civil War. This was the other interview that got him into a whole lot of heat last night, hot water. And he tried to clean it up on his own Twitter account this morning with his version of Doris Kearns Trump. If you follow Trump on Twitter, you'll see it there. But Trump on Sirius XM yesterday talking about his favorite president, Andrew Jackson.
I mean, had Andrew Jackson been a little bit later, you wouldn't have had the Civil War. He was a very tough person, but he had a big heart, and he was really angry that he saw what was happening with regard to the Civil War. He said, there's no reason for this. People don't realize, you know, the Civil War.
Yeah.
You think about it, why? People don't ask that question. But why was there the Civil War? Why could that one not have been worked out?
Okay. Seriously? Andrew Jackson died 16 years before the Civil War started.
But he saw it coming.
But the question of why was there a civil war?
Yeah.
Look, there's always a question of why is there war, and historians talk about it forever. But I think we're fairly clear on this one. This was about slavery. And to say Andrew Jackson somehow, if he had lived long enough, would have been a stronger president than Abraham Lincoln and would have been able to stop it. Look, you're entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to be a goofball that doesn't understand any bit of history. Read more. Have people read to you. You know, you can't have, you got a White House spokesman who missed World War II, and you got a president that apparently missed the Civil War.
And Andrew Jackson.
In the big picture, you might go, the big picture might go, what does it matter? It matters because he's president of the United States.
He, you know,
you can't be that stupid.
Trump actually has a portrait. He had a portrait of Andrew Jackson brought into the White House. And Andrew Jackson owns,
yeah, it's still up.
He owns slaves. He owns slaves.
Andrew Jackson, there was a Washington Post review of the president's ranking of the president's. And Andrew Jackson, of course, adorns your money. And what was he on, the 20? I don't even know. The 20? Is Andrew Jackson on the 20? He's on some of my money.
Let me check.
I never carry cash. No, I think he is on the 20.
But Andrew Jackson was ranked the best, worst president of all time. So, yeah, he was a unionist. Yes, he didn't want the union to break up. Yes, he was in a big spat with South Carolina when South Carolina originally during his time wanted to secede from the union.
Yes, he's on the
20. And he was able to work that out.
He's on the 20.
It is the 20?
Yes.
It was 20, okay.
Nice hairdo, by the way.
But President Trump has got to stop talking about things he doesn't know.
Right.
He just does. We have enough of a crisis of confidence in this country. We don't need this to. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back. Big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Time for the Allstate Kid of the Week. Oh, you're going to love this kid. Stand by to meet Emma in just a second. I think her dad actually dropped us the note. Anyway, our friends at Allstate bring us the Kid of the Week every week, and Andrea is here to tell you how you can get involved.
Well, Steve, Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential and make the world a better place through service, and they definitely do. All you have to do is nominate a kid for the Allstate Kid of the Week, a kid you know could be featured right here on the Steve Cochran Show and win great prizes, including, well, we'll tell her the prizes in a moment, but just go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry for a youth between 9 and 18 years old that you think should be the Allstate Kid of the Week.
And 11-year-old Emma joins us now. Emma, how do I pronounce your last name?
Bevenauer.
Bevenauer. And where do you live? What town?
Wilmette.
In Wilmette, the pride of Wilmette, Emma Bevenauer. All right, 11 years old. Now, you wrote a letter to your favorite basketball team, and I'd like to just read the letter, but my question first is, how did your favorite basketball team become the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I just really love their story and how they play.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Do you play basketball?
Yes.
And what position do you play?
Center.
All right, so you're one of the tallest kids in your class?
Yeah.
And are you more defensive or offensive?
Defensive.
You want to go to Northwestern someday? I could ask Mr. Innett to get you in.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Dave. Kid of the week. Right. And she's,
you
want to
play
game.
Defense? I'm sure that can be arranged.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Emma, do you mind if I read the letter you wrote to the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Sure.
Here's the letter, Andrea. Check this out. Hello, I had an idea. If the Cleveland players would like to help my school in Wilmette, Illinois, called St. Francis Xavier, raise money for a little town in Haiti. This little town needs it. They were struck by a tornado a couple of years ago, and many people, including many children, have been left homeless. We've helped make them well before they had to walk a couple of miles with heavy buckets just to get water. And they had to pay for their water. Some of the parents can't afford food, and the children go home to eat nothing. We've helped them get sewing machines, a well, schools being built, school supplies. The people in Haiti are trying to help kids get sports equipment as well and sports programs like we have, but they need supplies. They want to do soccer supplies like ball, shin guards, water bottles. They're also trying to get kids basketball so they can practice. And that's where I thought you guys could come in to donate basketballs and water bottles for them. The children are very happy to get anything they can get. If you can help us, it would be great. And then she ends it. Check this out. I'm only 11, but I'm trying to do good in this world. How great is that? Thank you. That's from Emma. And the Cavaliers delivered, right? The Cavs came through for you.
They did.
So what did they send you?
They sent me signed basketball.
How about that? That's pretty sweet.
It's great.
Pretty sweet. And you pass these on to whoever you need to pass them on to get them to the kids in Haiti, right?
Yes.
Well, that's pretty great. That's pretty great. Do you have a goal to go there someday and see these kids in person?
Yes.
That would be amazing. And have you told your friends about this, or are they helping you out in any way?
No, but I've told them.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, because you're a good kid, and you're paying it forward. We got to get more kids who understand what it's like to give to other people. You can do that. You can lead this, Emma.
Yes.
All right, let's go to the staff here. Any questions for Emma?
Yes.
Emma, how did you get involved in basketball? How did you decide basketball as opposed to maybe softball or a different sports?
Basketball is just one of my favorite things to do, and I'm tall, so
Seemed to make sense.
Yeah.
Does your dad, Matt, shoot around with you?
Yes, he does.
Have you ever beaten your dad, Matt, one-on-one?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Dave.
You mentioned you like Cleveland. Who's your favorite Cavaliers player? And do you have any mixed feelings when they play the Bulls, or are you just not a Bulls fan?
Mixed feelings, and my favorite player is LeBron.
Well, that makes sense.
Makes sense. Yeah. Makes total sense. Well, we're very proud of you, Emma. We're proud to have you be Kid of the Week. What does she win, Andrea?
She is going to win an Amazon gift card and a Lou Malnati's pizza.
Yeah. And when it comes to the pizza, watch it. Your dad might eat the whole thing. Yeah, you know that. You know that move. Thanks, Dad, for the information on Emma. Emma, get to school and keep leading the world to better places, because you are only 11, but you are doing good in this world, and we're proud to have you be Kid of the Week.
Thank you.
Have a great day. All right. We'll take a break for traffic here. Mary Vandeveld will come in and do that. Kid stepped up. She goes, yeah, I got mixed feelings when they play the Bulls. Yeah. But look, I'm a LeBron girl.
She's awesome. Really good.
Good for the Cavs, too, right? The Cavs, I'm sure, get a ton of requests. Good for the Cavs. Going, well, this is a nice kid from Chicago. We'll take care of her.
And they autographed the balls. Very nice. Yeah. I hope they sent the water bottles, too. Wanted to hear that.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, we're into May. You know, President Trump did that poem Saturday night, The Snake, again. Very uncomfortable to see the President of the United States reading this poem about a snake. He's trying to make a larger point about how you let undocumented immigrants in, and it comes back to bite you. But I wrote a poem last night. I'll read it to you later.
Oh, you wrote a poem?
Yeah, I wrote a poem. I was inspired by the president. I wrote a poem, so I'm going to share that poem with you later.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Meanwhile, it's May 2nd already. I want to congratulate my big brother, Mickey. I've got a big brother with special needs. His name is Mickey Cochran, and he's back in New York. And I intended to be in New York tonight, but after my April illness situation, wasn't able to make the trip. He's got another thing coming up in June because he's got celebrations all over the place that I'll be at. But I did a video for him for this thing tonight because he's going to be honored. Mickey went out and outsold everyone in donut sales to raise money for the employment situation. It's a place called Challenge Work Solutions, and they hire special needs adults and put them to work.
That's so cool.
And Mick went out and sold, I'm trying to remember the total. Was it 175 dozen donuts?
Oh, my God.
It was some crazy, crazy amount of donuts. The cost about a few dozen, and he wanted Mickey to mail them to him.
Oh, that's too funny. That picture that you sent where he's standing with all the boxes of donuts that he was delivering, that's awesome.
So anyway, he'll be honored tonight. Proud of you, brother. As we get into May, make a note of these are a few May holidays that you're going to want to make a note of. May 6th is No Homework Day. May 6th, No Homework Day. You probably still get in trouble at school. I don't know if anybody celebrates it. It was probably started by, you know, a sixth grader somewhere.
Okay, but that's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday.
Why would you be doing homework on Saturday anyway?
Well, a lot of kids have projects they have to do.
Yeah, what Mary said. Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Study for a final on Monday.
Forgive me.
Does that go for us, too?
Yeah, what Mary said. Studying for a final, yeah.
Does that go for us, too? We don't have to do our homework that day.
Oh,
yes,
please,
Steve.
Like you guys.
So don't give us any
like
homework.
You guys do homework on a Saturday.
Hey, we do.
May 11th, Eat What You Want Day. See, I do that every day.
Yeah, I do too.
That's my problem. But that's May 11th. Dave, you could eat what you want on May 11th, not the crap you eat anyway.
Oh, I eat what I want every day, Steve. That's all I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. May 13th, National Babysitter's Day. May 13th, Stay Up All Night Day.
We do that all the time. It's called lack of sleep day.
Get up in the middle of the night.
Remember when staying up all night was cool, and now staying up all night, it's like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah, no
kidding. Just go to bed. May 14th is Underground America Day. Underground America Day honors those who make their homes not on Earth, but in it. It was invented by a guy named Malcolm Wells in 1974, whose wish was to celebrate can-do by doing things like riding the subway, burying some treasure, eating root vegetables, and thinking about moles.
That
you
does
know, just
not sound
weird
exciting.
Doesn't mean you get a holiday.
Does not sound
it's
exciting.
The weirdest thing I've ever
at
heard.
At all.
Oh, really? Did you hear the Trump interviews?
Oh,
did you read the snake poem?
So.
Hey, Steve.
Yes.
Stay up all night day, and you're saying how it used to be cool to stay up, and then now it's cool to go to bed.
Yeah.
That's since when we have the kids, I have them tuck me in because, you know, we get up so early, so I go to bed before them, and it's they think it's so cute and fun to that I'm the adult
well,
going to bed
fun.
Before them.
It's a great idea.
I'm like, you guys fight sleep. I can't wait. And so they do a joint tuck-in where they also like kind of do a little massage. Patrick usually does my back and Catherine does my legs. It's a very
Look at you.
A pampered service we've got going on in our house.
That's
when they're,
great. I
when
love
they're around.
That.
Yeah. I told Catherine I can't wait till she starts driving so they can swing by and tuck me in even when they're not with us, you know, and then they can go back to their mom.
Okay, that would be weird.
You need to enjoy every
That just got weird.
Listen, you need to enjoy every minute of that because I remember, and Dave, I'm sure you, Mary, you probably do too. I remember my kids jumping into bed with me, right, and fighting over who got to cuddle and all that stuff.
Yeah, jumping now, in at 5 a.m. in the morning. Hello?
Yeah, but now here's how it's different. And I fall asleep in a chair and I go, Dad, 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 go to bed. It's not really as much fun as it used to be.
But don't you always deny you're sleeping anyway? That's what I do. I'm not sleeping.
Oh, my God. That Pat falls asleep like that, and it makes me crazy when I look over and sees. I'm like, we should go to bed. Your eyes are closed. My eyes aren't closed. That's I'm like, I'm looking your eyes. They haven't blinked. Sometimes I'm going
to
take a video.
Talk to my wife.
Worst thing is when you turn off the TV because we're watching it.
Oh, that's what I do. I turn off the TV. I seethe. It makes me sometimes I need to relax, as we know.
Really? You think?
But
May 16th is Mimosa Day. So fire
Wait,
up one of those.
Somebody's mixing a cocktail.
Nice.
Hey, who's got the cocktail? What
yeah,
was it?
That was definitely a cocktail.
I heard ice.
I think it's Dave might be having a cocktail.
No, it's not. It's not me.
May 18th, International Museums Day. There's a lot of museums in Chicago I've never been to. We have such great museums here. What am I doing? I got to go to a few more museums.
You know what? And there's free days every month, every museum, the Art Institute, the Museum of Science and Industry, the Field Museum.
I'll pay.
No, they offer. But why? If you're an Illinois resident, there's a week of free days usually every month.
All right. Well,
wait,
I'll go on
pay?
One of those days,
what?
Too.
What?
I know. Show business. You don't pay for anything. May 19th, National Bike to Work Day. Oh, I'd have to get a bike. I haven't had a bike in a long time.
I'll do that. I think we should all bike to work.
What if a rickshaw bring you to work?
Well, yeah, I could, you know, in the summer I stay at the Western Suburbs Naperville Summer Home. That's quite a bike.
Yeah. Steve, I have an extra bike that you could borrow.
Up. Pick me up on the way, Steve.
I have two bikes,
bike,
actually.
Right, Mary and I are going to double ride all the way in.
Yeah.
I'll do a tandem. Okay, that's weird.
May 19th, National Scooter Day.
I always wanted a scooter.
We'll get you one then. May 25th, National Tap Dance Day. You know, I used to be able to tap dance. I had an uncle who could tap dance. He taught me a couple basic taps, and I had tap shoes.
What?
What would you guys pay to see me put on tap shoes and tap dance?
Oh, that would be priceless.
That would be great.
Yeah, it ends with seltzer in your pants.
We'd all pool our money and watch you do a
T for two.
The tap dance.
Yeah, yeah. A little song, a little dance, a little seltzer down my pants.
Too. Were you any good?
That one.
I'd pay for that.
Was I any good, please? Of course. I sucked. So did the May holidays. As I went through the May list, I've decided those May holidays suck. It's 6:58. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to honor another one of our Walk of Famers. Ann Maxfield.
Yeah.
She'll join us in about 10 minutes.
Love Annie.
We'll get to the news next. That's coming up on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
It'd be a good song to sing for karaoke. Driving along in your car doing Thunder Island. I'll tell you more about how you can get your entries in since you started coming in yesterday. We have a very talented audience. Very talented. Good-looking audience, too. I've worked for a lot of audiences, Andrea. This audience, the best-looking audience I've ever worked for.
Hands down. Hands
you
down.
Can tell.
Smart and good-looking. Complete
hey,
package.
Speaking of good looking, guess who's on the phone?
Oh, I know. One of my favorites.
Oh,
walk of walk of fame time. Little Annie Maxfield's
Woo!
In.
Oh,
how
my
you
God,
doing?
I'm not worthy.
Yes, you are. You're awesome.
No, I'm not. I'm going to be on the freaking sidewalk next to Cochran and Wally and Spike and Bob. Seriously?
First off, I'm not in the sidewalk because I'm not worthy, but you will be near Ennett. And if you're near Ennett, a lot of good things can happen. He knows a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's right. I'll get tickets, right?
Well, I don't know about that, Annie, but if there are any, you'll get them.
Here's the thing about Ann Maxfield. Ann Maxfield, one of the great pleasures of working at the Mighty 720, even when the people from the Star Wars Cantina came in to run the place, we still had a lot of laughs, didn't we?
We always had a lot of laughs. I so miss you. Oh, my God.
I miss you back.
Those were the
miss
days.
You back. So before we get into the nuts and bolts of the Walk of Fame ceremony here, let me read to you from the official bio. I don't know who writes these, but somebody upstairs writes these. A prominent and outspoken voice in morning and afternoon drive, Ann Maxfield originally joined WGN Radio as part of the Bob Collins Show.
That's true.
Most WGN Radio listeners recall her as Spike Odell's foil in PM Drive.
Okay, I'll take foil.
Chicago native, well-versed in sports, avid concert goer. How many Springsteen concerts? Do you know the number?
Over 200.
Holy cow.
And was what
That's
many
awesome.
Called, she credits her time with Collins' show as the place where she gained tremendous confidence as a performer. Bob was someone you could always learn from. He was the number one radio guy in Chicago at the time. Excellent interviewer, could make a bit out of anything, taught me how to think on my feet and try to make great radio immediately. And I'll tell you the other thing about Ann, which you guys may not know, the Showcase studio we're in here, the Allstate Showcase studio, this was, for a period of time, a studio that only Annie was in, so dudes could come by and flash her.
And it happened often. And
hey,
you know,
look,
one of
there's
the
Ann Maxfield.
Flash on a regular basis, Roger Treemstra, because he was in there, too. He used
oh,
to be one of traffic.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's just great. All right, everybody wants to talk to you, but before that, how's the family?
Everything's good. Can't complain. Can't
What's your boy up
I'd
to?
I'd like to be working with you again. What am I up to? Well, is my
Well, yeah, yeah, and keep in mind, there's always a chair for you here, so just swing by. No, what's your boy up to?
Oh, my boy? He's in college.
Good God.
Sophomore. Yeah, I know.
Remember when Doesn't he was a baby? Feel... Little Dylan.
I know. Well, he's still a baby, but,
he's a boy in college.
Where's he going to school?
He's going to CLC, College of Lake County.
Okay, and what's he studying?
he's moving towards political science and marketing, so we'll see what happens.
Okay, he's finding himself. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine.
He's finding himself,
Yes, all right. And some of you may remember that if not for Ann Maxfield, I would not have connected with – I'm an adoptee, as she is – and I would not have connected with my birth family here in Chicago and found I had two sisters and all of that and my family that I spend so much time with now. And, of course, they're very upset with you, Ann, because you made that connection.
You know what? That was one of my more memorable days on the radio.
That's fun.
With you.
That was fun.
I mean, I so remember. Here you were. You know, your mom was working in the store at the hospital,
at
right?
Children's Hospital, like, yeah.
You were there, and you were, like, hiding behind a card stand because you weren't sure if you wanted to see her. And
I decided my disguise would be a golf hat I had in the back of the car. So, you know, definitely come to me if you want to go clandestine. All right, around the room, who wants to talk to Annie Maxfield?
Oh, I do.
Jump in.
Hi.
All right. Annie, love you, miss you. I know. I remember you were one of the first people to take me to lunch across the street when I got here and when I was doing news with Spikey and you in the afternoon. I have to ask you, too. You were always the funnest part of the golf outings because I know how much you love them. And you were always a great putter. So I guess my question, and I'm just going to love this reaction. Have you taken up golf yet?
Are you kidding me? The answer to that question would be a big fat no.
Yes, Annie. No. Woo! Annie, remember, we were talking about Spike's allergies one time, and that was one of the first times I think we ever had to hit what we call the panic button with your response.
Yeah, I did drop the F-bomb. I'll be honest about that. You know why? I was so comfortable on that show. We were so comfortable. We were family.
Right.
We've been on
right.
together. And it was just like sitting in our houses talking to each other. And Spike was saying, yeah, it was the worst allergies. I'm like, well, boom.
Right.
Yeah, that's because
right,
you're
right.
on the friggin' golf course every day, man.
Right,
it was
right,
like
right,
that.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, you go roll around on the lawn.
But you were she was a mean putter, though. You were a killer at putting.
No, I wasn't. They used to set those putts up for me, and they gave me a pro. You didn't know that
yeah.
no.
on the golf outings? They assigned me a pro. It was always the 18th green. And they'd line the putt up for me, and it would be like, you know, no more than 20 inches. And they'd show me how to putt, and then I'd putt, and sometimes it would go in. But, no, I had major help on those.
Yeah, and they always gave a reward because they had scotch or some sort of hooch around there.
Right.
Mary Vandeveld, say hi to Annie.
Oh, hi, Annie. How's it going? How's the jewelry business?
Mary, you know what? I so admire you for hanging in there.
I know. I'm still here.
Probably one of the last traffic reporters with any respect given and still in the position that she was in, has been in for how many years now?
Almost 20.
Did you hear the other day? They just like went through and hatcheted the entire WLS traffic staff.
Yeah.
I know. That was just horrible. And
Too bad. A lot of nice people there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's scary. I miss you. I miss you so much because you always made me crack up. And I was always so serious about doing traffic. And I'd listen to Annie, and she was not serious about it. She was just, when I first heard you say the word S-U-C-K on the air, which you used to love to say, I still can't say it.
Oh, yeah.
I still can't get myself to.
Come on, Mary.
Come on.
Say it.
No,
say that traffic sucks. Say that traffic sucks.
Traffic sucks.
Traffic sucks.
Yeah. Yes, Annie.
Oh,
I love it.
Dave Edits, Annie.
Annie, we miss you.
Dave.
I have to ask you, does Spike just text you at odd hours for no particular reason?
I'll get a text saying in the middle of the night, and I'll just say, hey, hoser.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, hoser. How you doing?
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah, it's the middle of the night. Spike's up trying to pee. So, all right, so here are the details. Coming up, what is the date, Dave? You are the official ambassador of the Walk of Fame. When are we doing
this? It is Thursday, May 25th at 10 a.m.
All right, Ann Maxfield joins the cast of The Honored, and she will be enshrined in the Walk of Fame. We can't wait to see it. It's going to be a fun afternoon.
What do I do? No one's told me.
you just show up.
You show up and you be honored.
And then we'll sip some champagne afterwards, Annie.
You don't have to make a speech or anything. They'll ask you some questions.
Don't tell Judy Pye like that because she's been writing her speech for weeks.
It's hilarious. Little does she know, it's just an interview.
Shh.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we're going to stream her speech online. All right, Annie, we'll see you soon. We love you, and thanks for doing this. We got a break for traffic right now. Mary Vandeveld's here. What do you got?
Bye, Ann.
See you, Annie. Great to hear from you.
Got a couple texts there about Maxfield?
Yeah, we do have a couple of texts about Annie Maxfield. Annie, we love you and miss you. And then from the 847, Annie Catherine Wood says hello.
People are very excited
about Ann's induction into the Walk of Fame.
And when is it again, Dave? When are we doing this?
This is Thursday, May 25th, 10 a.m. here on Pioneer Court.
Andrea and I are going to do this magic act in the beginning to warm up the crowd where I cut her into three different boxes and spin her around, try to put her back together.
Are you going to make me disappear and then I reappear like in the middle of the box with the velvet curtain?
I'm going to try, but I really don't do magic. So me and a saw, I'm just selling you.
Oh, that's great.
Warned.
That's great.
All right. So listen, we have Car E. Oki, long before James Corden started stuffing celebrities in his front seat to sing along with him. We were doing karaoke with John DeCosta, the musical director of this program. We'll bring it back again this year with a chance for you to win fabulous prizes. And all you have to do is do what you're doing now. Sing in your car.
Sing.
I know you even sing with the bump music we play. And you remember our slogan, much more talk, much less music.
Mm-hmm.
So all you need to do is pick your favorite song, sing it in your car. We highly advise you not do it while you're moving. And send us the clip. You can just record it on your phone, attach it to an email, send us the audio clip. There's a video category as well if you want to send us a video clip, and that's always great. You can ham it up in your car as well. I was talking to Mike Jacobson about this morning. It'd be great if you had accompanying musicians in your back seat. You know, where you actually played it live.
That'd be
like
hilarious.
You stuffed an entire band in your car. That would be cool.
Oh, my God. Hey, are we going to do little video snippets, too? Because Stanford kind of liked that idea.
Yeah, it is a good idea. I'm going to try to do one today. I think we got Sandberg and Pat Boyle, got the whole family there.
Oh, cool.
If all you guys would record yourself singing in your cars, shoot a video clip, then we'll put those up online and people can see it. But anyway, John DeCosta will be in tomorrow on the program, and we'll reveal one of our finalists.
I was trying to do my own solo one yesterday, and it's actually very difficult to get a song you want to sing along to at the same time as pulling out your phone and getting a video rolling.
And like, making sure you're not moving.
Right.
You don't want to be
so
driving.
It's a little more
challenging
than I had thought. But I do have video of the rest of my family singing in the car that I'm going to put up. You can't really hear their voices very well because we crank the tunes pretty loud in the Boyle car. But
because you want to drown out the voices?
Yeah, I've got some solo ones of Pat singing Bruno Mars.
And let me tell you, I have seen these videos, and Pat Boyle can cut a rug in the car. Let me tell you.
Right.
Yeah, isn't cut a rug dancing, though?
He's got the white man overbite going the whole nine yards.
Nice.
So wait a minute. So are we allowed to sing with accompaniment?
Yeah.
Instrumental?
Yeah.
So we're singing over another vocalist.
Yeah, or a cappella, either one.
Yeah, I'm not capable of a cappella myself. That's why I have to sing with the music.
I actually have an example.
By the way, if this goes well this year, we are going to move on to shower-oke, where you sneak into the bathroom where your wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever is singing, and you record them and they don't know, and you send it to us.
That'll just be audio, right?
Shower-oke.
No video.
No, I don't think we need video for that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I actually have an example of that because the kids sing in the shower really loud that I always
There you
sing,
go.
You know, so.
Perfect.
Mike said he has an example of a karaoke submission we had yesterday.
Yeah.
But I want to save it. I really want to save it.
You really want to save it?
I really want to save it.
Okay.
I want to save it for tomorrow because, you know, there's nothing quite like getting the maestro John DeCosta's reaction to these. You know, where he looks like he's a little gassy himself, to bring that up again from the beginning of the show. So how do we get entries in? Who do we send them to there, Sandberg?
You send them to Mary Sandberg at msandberg, S-A-N-D-B-E-R-G, at WGNradio.com.
Boy, her impression of Jake is getting good.
I know. Isn't it good?
How did she get her voice so low?
That was very impressive. All right, we'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
This is somebody who has starved his own people, somebody that has threatened to destroy the United States. How could he be honored to meet with Kim Jong-un?
Well, the president understands the threat that North Korea poses, and he will do whatever is necessary under the right circumstances to protect our country from the threat that they pose. But that is his number one
point. What do you mean when you call him one smart cookie or a pretty smart cookie?
Well, I think his point was he went over this in the interview, that he assumed power at a young age when his father passed away, and there was a lot of potential threats that could have come his way, and he's obviously managed to lead a country forward.
No. Don't you want to just look at Sean Spicer and just go, no?
Yes.
You just go to Sean Spicer, just sum up his entire briefing and go, no. Our friend Ryan Nobles from CNN joins us now. You know, it's an economy of words thing, Ryan. Just go, walk up to Sean Spicer today because you're closer than we are and just go, no. Just look at Sean Spicer and just go, stop it. We know you don't believe it. Stop it.
If yesterday's briefing didn't demonstrate that Sean Spicer has one of the most difficult jobs in America, I don't know what did. That was a very painful exercise for him.
Well, we all get bashed all the time about not talking about what really matters. Here's why this matters. The President of the United States talks, people listen. It matters because the things he said yesterday and the actions he took yesterday continue to be self-defeating to whatever he may or may not want to accomplish, but also really revealing in a frightening way. So let's pick them off one at a time here. I continue to hear people on CNN, on MSNBC, on Fox, on CBS, ABC, NBC, trying to ascribe some sort of strategy to Donald Trump. There is no strategy. Mm-hmm. He opens his mouth and things fall out. And what fell out yesterday was the words, "I would be honored to meet with Kim Jong-un." You can't say that.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, it demonstrates his kind of lack of understanding as to how diplomacy works and how international affairs work. And the idea that he would get into a room or get on the phone or have any kind of direct conversation with a dictatorial leader shows that he doesn't understand the consequences of that, because what is the next step? I was talking to Ted Barrett, who's one of our top producers on Capitol Hill yesterday, and we were talking about this issue. If he meets with Kim Jong-un and that meeting doesn't go well, what is the next step in this process? Well, there's really only one option, isn't there? And that is to get into some sort of military conflict. So that's why that is when you're in a posture that the United States is with North Korea, that is an option of last resort when all other options have been exhausted. And it seems in this case that we aren't even on the front end of all the potential options that this administration could explore when it comes to North Korea. And what's so peculiar about this particular statement, and I think it lends credence to your theory that he doesn't really think all these things through before he makes this statement, is that he actually made some progress with North Korea. You know, he seems to have gotten the Chinese to a place where they're at least open to the idea of putting pressure on China, or on North Korea, I should say, to solve this problem. And when he throws out something like he's open to meeting with the North Korean leader, that throws the entire process into some sort of tumult and could make it a lot more difficult to come to find some sort of a resolution to this problem.
In the words, "I'll be honored to meet with him," have heavy, heavy weight, not just in the Asian culture, but for a guy who hasn't even met with or spoken with his number one ally, the president of China, and who wants to be elevated and respected at a level he never should be elevated to. So we do everything for him. We raise him up. And what are we getting out of that? Nothing but risk.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, North Korea is in this position because they have nothing left to lose. You know, we've sanctioned them to the point of where their people are being starved. They've been essentially cut off from the rest of the world. The reason that they're in the position that they are is because of the way things have stood. So there's no incentive for us to put Kim Jong-un at this point where he could get to a platform where he could meet with the president of the United States. And you're absolutely right. It bypasses all these other steps that need to take place before you even get to that. And that's why, you know, we were talking about this yesterday with some of my colleagues that, you know, during the Obama administration, Republicans criticized President Obama for suggesting that diplomats far down the pecking order meet with diplomats far down the pecking order from North Korea. The idea that representatives from the United States government would be talking to representatives from the North Korean government was something that Republicans abhorred, much less the president talking to Kim Jong-un. So the idea that he floated that is really shocking. And just, and I guess you add it to a long list of things that President Trump has said that have just kind of blown us away, and it's hard to put into context.
Andrea, say hi to Ryan Nobles.
Hey, Ryan, how are you? With regard to North Korea and the Philippines to an extent, I guess how can the Trump base or Sean Spicer or the administration explain this away? Do you think people realize that the invitation for Rodrigo Duterte to visit the White House was so startling?
I don't think the average American, and I think the Trump supporter in large, doesn't understand the complexity involved with inviting the leader of the Philippines to the United States for a meeting. And that's no knock on people in that position. I would imagine most Americans of all else don't really know about his regime and the things that he's done in the Philippines, and the fact that at one point he compared himself to Adolf Hitler when he talked about he would have no problem essentially exterminating 3 million drug users, not even drug pushers or drug overlords. He actually said drug users, just people that are addicted to drugs. And so, yeah, I think when he says this, I don't think people understand the complexity and really the danger of bringing someone of this, you know, this ilk to the United States. Now, Duterte is somebody who has overwhelming popularity in his country, but in the rest of that Pacific Rim, he's really put at an arm's length. He's not necessarily close to the Chinese. The Japanese are very leery of him. So the idea that of all of the leaders in Asia that would be able to be the one that could broker some sort of consensus with North Korea, the idea that the leader of the Philippines would be the person to do that doesn't really make too much sense. And I think you saw when Sean Spicer was trying to come up with some rationale for why it made sense to invite him over to the White House, he really couldn't come up with some sort of cogent explanation. But again, I think he gets back to Steve's earlier point. I think he's asked a question about this, and in this case, he was on the phone. I'm talking about the president now. He was on the phone with the leader of the Philippines, and I think he probably just threw out, "You should come to the White House at some point."
Exactly.
And, you know, and that's the way he is in a conversation like that. It's like, you know, come on over, let's have a chat. You know, and he's not understanding the global implications of something like that.
But don't you think there ought to be somebody in his White House who says to him, okay, Mr. President, when you're on the phone with Duterte, you can't invite him to the White House? Or maybe they do, yeah, and maybe he just doesn't listen.
No, I think you're right. Think about this. You're a career member of the State Department, because essentially what happens is, you know, in normal order, and we're not exactly sure how it happens in this White House, before every phone call or conversation that the president of the United States is going to have with the foreign leaders, there's someone from the State Department whose only job in the world is to, you know, come up with a briefing for the president. Before you talk to this leader, these are the 10 different points that our two countries are engaged in that you need to be aware of. These are the landmines that you can't step on. These are the issues that are safe to talk about. If you were like a career diplomat and you've dealt with presidents before, or even people higher up on the chain, you probably wouldn't have even entered your mind to think
right.
that the president would invite the leader of the Philippines to the White House for a meeting.
Right.
Would you even think to advise him to do that? So, it's not a surprise when you think of it in that respect. That just like we are in the media trying to figure out this president, because there's never been a president like him before, all these career officials in the government are probably in the same exact position.
You know, there's two other things that came up yesterday of the president shooting himself in the foot, and for, you know, the people that support him most vociferously to say it doesn't matter. Here's why it matters. He doesn't have to be Doris Kearns Goodwin, but he does have to understand why the Civil War started, just the basic fact that the Civil War was fought to end slavery. That's yeah. something that's in dispute, and it's something that was taught at his military academy and everywhere else, and it matters because you cannot have the president of the United States to be so historically inept that he creates a larger crisis of confidence in him than already exists. I mean, isn't that the story?
Yeah, I mean, the whole situation where he talked about Andrew Jackson being in a position where, you know, had he been around a little bit longer, I'm not even sure how he you know, provided this rationale that maybe he could have prevented the Civil War. You know, I'm not a Civil War historian by any sense of the matter, but I know that Andrew Jackson died 16 years before any bullets started flying in the Civil War. And he was also a Southern leader and someone who was a plantation owner and had slaves. So the idea that someone that was a slave owner could have been the person that could have brokered peace between the North and the South. I mean, it's true that Andrew Jackson wanted the Union to be preserved, but this was, you know, the sticking point of the overall Civil War. And regardless, you know, the sensitivity surrounding this issue, the idea that the president would be, you know, and obviously he finds a bit of Andrew Jackson in himself, so that's why he wants to promote him. But I think you're right, Steve. It leads to this overall lack of confidence in him as our president, because he doesn't seem to have the depth of understanding necessary for the job. And he also doesn't seem to be, you know, looking for that depth of understanding. You know, right. The one thing about presidents, even if they don't have a huge degree of experience, they come in with a level of curiosity that gets them to the point where they want to learn and absorb and understand that this is the toughest job in the world. And I mean, he said in an interview the other day that he was surprised at how difficult right. the job of being president is. How on earth could you be surprised at how difficult it is to be president of the United States?
Yeah, you know, he ought to call Frederick Douglass. Don't you guys think? Just call Frederick Douglass, you know, because he's doing a lot of good things. It's unbelievable.
Recently, too.
Yeah. Oh, you guys know what the crickets mean.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, here on show number 895, Mike Madigan will not be appearing, which means a seventh caller wins prizes right now. 312-981-7020. As a matter of fact, let's do a new game next hour. You guys want to play a new game?
Yes.
New game on the show next hour. Let's play Stump the Show.
Oh.
Stump the show. So listeners call in. They can ask us any question in the world about anything.
Can we use any tools to help us find the answer, or is it just our memories?
Just our knowledge. Our brains. Just our lifetime of knowledge.
And our computers.
Nope. Just our lifetime of knowledge. And if we don't know it, and there's a really good chance we won't, they'll win. However, if we do know the answer, they have to send us something from their house.
Steve, the lucky winner of the Madigan game or the non-Madigan game is going to win an Apt gift card. You know, they've been pleasing people since 1936. Just visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And congratulations to that winner to be named soon. All right, Andrea, President Obama's in town tomorrow doing what?
He's going to be in town. Now, we've been talking about the Presidential Center, the Obama Foundation. He's been in town several times since he left the presidency. He and Michelle Obama, he's going to be with Michelle Wednesday. They are set to unveil kind of a conceptual model of the Presidential Center that's going to be built in Jackson Park. They're supposedly going to have this 3D model of the library and museum. It's going to be in an event at the South Shore Cultural Center. That is according to sources familiar with the plans of the Obama Foundation. It's actually going to give Chicagoans and all of us a first look at the structure, which is going to be, I think, a big economic boom for that South Side area.
Very cool. That'll be tomorrow. But one last word on President Trump. You know, he threw out something yesterday which sort of sums up his presidency so far when he walked out of that interview with CBS. John Dickerson, the CBS Face the Nation anchor, was interviewing him in the White House, and he was pushing him on the, do you still claim that Obama wiretapped you? Mm-hmm. And he said, and I quote, I don't stand by anything.
Oh, God.
I don't stand by anything. Those five words, I don't stand by anything. I think that sums up where we are. On day whatever this is, 102.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the news and then Dean Richards, and then we'll play that hot new game. Oh, it's going to be a very hot new game. Stump the Show, coming up after 8:30. Meanwhile, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio, and it will. We'll come back with the news right after we take this break, and then we'll get to Dean on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Dean, that me.
You okay?
Hey, turn your head when you cough.
No, I'm fine.
God.
Totally fine.
Steve, you okay?
Yeah, totally fine. We're not on, are we?
A little bit.
Oh, we're on now.
A little bit right now.
In all fairness, I did ask him to turn his head and cough as we started.
Right. Dean and I have a ceremony we do where he checks me for a hernia before every
I like to make sure.
Report.
You know, you've had a couple of health issues lately, so
yeah,
I just
want
to make sure you're okay.
You cannot be too careful. And does it bother you when I sing Moon River?
No.
Okay.
No. Tomorrow, prostate check, by the way.
And by the way, once you've had one, it gets awkward with the doctor if you ask for an extra.
Yeah, prostate check Wednesday. We love it around here.
Promotions that go nowhere. I have in front of me, I want to get to this Jimmy Kimmel story because he's something else.
Very moving.
But before we do that, I have a list of how Ryan Seacrest makes money, which to me makes it more baffling that he decided to be second in command to Kelly Ripa. I still don't understand why he took the job. Maybe, Dean, you have a better answer. But he made $55 million last year. That's a pretty good year.
Yep. Yep.
He does the KISS FM Los Angeles morning show.
Yeah,
remember when he stabbed Rick Dees in the back and Dees got fired?
Yeah, KISS FM, man,
Rick Dees was the guy on KISS FM forever.
Disco Duck Rick Dees.
Yeah. Look, I'm a disco duck.
He probably made $55 million for that song.
No doubt about it. He also does American Top 40, which is originally the Casey Kasem thing that became a Rick Dees in competition thing. And that alone was worth $20 million last year, just the syndicated thing. How about that?
Right.
American Idol's no longer on the air. He was doing $15 million a year for that. He his E! Live from the Red Carpet stuff and producing essentially half of E!'s programming,
yep.
including owning the Kardashian show.
Yep.
That's pretty good money. He also has a fashion line.
Rockin' New Year's Eve. Rockin' New Year's Eve.
Rockin' New Year's Eve, right. Yep. He's a brand ambassador for Ford, and he's a tech investor. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Crunchbase, Les Secrets, with $35.5 million personally invested in Headspace, a meditation app, $4 million in ATTN, an issue-driven media company, and $1.5 million in Stamped, an app that was later acquired by Yahoo. So they estimate his worth, his net worth, to be somewhere around $400 million so far. So I ask you again, Dean, why take the job with Kelly Ripa?
Two words sums it all up. Greedy bastard.
All right, well, that sums it up well for me then.
Yeah. I have no idea. There certainly is no financial reason to do this. His schedule is insane. I have not heard if he's going to continue doing the radio morning show while he also prepares for the Kelly show. So I don't know how they're going to reconcile all that. One show is based in Los Angeles. Kelly's based in New York. How that's all going to happen?
Empire is based in L.A.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know if it's just, you know, some people want to be king of the mountain.
He's a job hug.
Greedy bastard.
Taste of Chicago music lineup is out. What do you got?
It's an interesting lineup of performers that we have this year. Probably the only group that you're going to know on this whole list are the OJs, the legendary OJs. They're going to play the Sunday of Taste of Chicago, which this year is July 5th through the 9th. The first night of it all, Wednesday, Alicia Cara. She sang several of the songs on the Moana soundtrack. Very talented young vocalist. The second night will be the Grammy Award-winning Mexican alternative band, Café Tacuba, who will be appearing.
Yeah, I'm a big Café Tacuba fan, always have been.
You've been in their fan club, I know, a long time.
Yeah.
Third night is the Friday. That's Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals. Saturday is Passion Pit. And Sunday night, the OJs. Free to get into Taste of Chicago, but if you want to go to any of these shows, they're all at the Petrillo Music Shell, and those are like $25, I think. And tickets for that are going to go on sale this coming Friday morning.
When is the band It Ain't What It Used to Be? When are they playing? Because that lineup ain't what it used to be.
That's exactly right. Pretty different from the days of Stevie Wonder and, you know, go down the list, you know, Chicago. I hosted the Chicago concert 100 years ago. You know, so like some of the truly the biggest names, nothing against any of these people who are performing, but as you say, not what it used to be, that's for sure.
Tony Award nominations are out?
Yeah, those just came out a few minutes ago. I was just going through all the many lists of nominees that came out. Best of Broadway, for Best Play, the nominees are A Doll's mm-hmm. House, Part 2, mm-hmm. Indecent, Oslo, and Sweat. For Best Musical.
Is that one play or is that three?
That's four. That's four.
Oh, okay.
That's four different ones. For Best Musical, it's Come From Away, Dear Evan Hansen, which has been the toast of Broadway for quite a while, Groundhog the Musical, and the musical Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812.
And we are still workshopping ALF until we can get it made.
Now, let me give you some names that might be a little more familiar to you for Best Revival of a Musical. By the way, that Pierre Natasha thing got the most nominations, 12 nominations.
that Pierre Natasha thing. Okay.
Yeah, whatever it is. Best Revival of a Musical, the nominees are Hello, Dolly, that just opened recently with Bette Midler. That got 10 nominations, including one for Bette Midler. Miss Saigon and Falsettos, Best Revival of a Play, August Wilson's Jitney, The Little Foxes, Present Laughter, 6 Degrees of Separation. Some significant acting nominations Kevin Klein was nominated. Chris Cooper, Sally Field, Laura Linney, Laurie Metcalf, Kate Blanchett, Josh Groban, who is in the aforementioned Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812. Mm-hmm. David Hyde Pierce, Bette Midler, as I said, nominated. And Patti LuPone in War Paint, who many of you may have seen when they world premiered that at the Goodman Theater not too long ago.
It sounds like more of a heady year on Broadway than some of the...
Yeah, it's not your Hamilton-y kind of year.
Yeah.
Not your big Hamilton-y kind of year.
Yeah. Janet Jackson tour is back on?
Yeah. She put out a little video last night talking about her little 3-month-old son. She confirmed her separation from her billionaire husband and announced that her tour is back on. It's going to be called the State of the World Tour, and it will be at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont on October the 26th. Tickets are going to go on sale starting this Friday, but if you had tickets for the Unbreakable Tour, that's the tour that they canceled because of her pregnancy, those tickets will be honored at this on this new concert tour.
Okay. And I've seen Janet many times in concert, and she's fabulous. We'll come back more with Dean after traffic.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. Larry Potash's birthday today. How old is he?
Big 5-0.
Well, tell him happy birthday.
Does he know who you are?
No. Yeah, well, I mean, he claims he does.
Okay.
Dean,
just
tell
rush
him.
It.
Tell him I
you know,
thought
hold
he was
on right now.
That.
Just rush the set. Rush the set right now and say, Steve and Andrea and Dave and Mary and Steve and Sandberg and Jake all wish you a happy birthday, and then come back to the mic. We'll wait. Go ahead, rush the set.
How about if I run in there singing that Greek birthday song
happy
for no reason,
to you.
And then at the end, happy birthday from Steve and Andrea and Dave and
that's
all,
fantastic,
et cetera, et cetera.
It's fantastic. I want to get to the Jimmy Kimmel tape that we have, but you were at the James Beard Awards last night?
I was. The Oscars of the culinary world, and a couple of pretty big Chicago wins, especially for Rick Bayless, his Topolo Bampo restaurant.
He'll never amount to anything.
he's only had Frontera Grill and Topolo Bampo for like 30 years now, which, you know, that's a pretty fly-by-night operation by anyone's standards.
Totally. I told him, Bayless, put in a drive-through window or you're going to be out of business.
That's right. We need we need more chalupas in your restaurant.
Well, congratulations to him.
His Topolo Bampo won Outstanding Restaurant of the Year. That's the top restaurant award of the year. And also Monteverde in the West Loop won Best Regional Award. So congratulations to those two. On the red carpet last night, all the chefs were there. The mayor was there, and we talked with him. But also Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family, who talked to me a little bit about his own cooking skills.
I try very hard. I actually do very good in the kitchen. I have a food blog that I archive a lot of my recipes on with my cooking partner, Julie, and you can find that at jessetylerferguson.com. So, you can kind of see what I've been up to.
What's the latest with Modern Family? Anything new? Any new projects other than that you're working on?
Well, we're waiting to see if we're going to do a season 9, and we all hope to come back for another year. And so that's where we are with that. But we still have, I think, 3 more episodes of season 8 before the season finale, and they're all really funny.
Yeah, so we've got the full list of all the James Beard Award winners up on the web.
I do know that a little bit about the cliffhanger for Modern Family. The entire cast is lost in the cleavage of, what's her name?
Sofia Vergara?
Yeah, Sofia Vergara's cleavage. They go on a hiking trip and they get lost her cleavage.
Hello, 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 hello.
I'm way more amused by that than anyone else. All right, so we didn't even know this about Jimmy Kimmel, or at least most of us didn't, but Jimmy Kimmel recently had a second child with his wife.
Little
He's
boy.
He's got a couple of grown kids as well from his first marriage.
Yep.
And the little boy's been sick, huh?
Yeah, little boy's name is William. And, you know, the successful delivery. 3 days old, they're still in the hospital, and the doctors pull Jimmy Kimmel off to the side and said, you know, we found something. We're a little bit concerned about it. They take him to another room, and they're showing him, you know, x-rays and things like that. And, you know, what should have been a jubilant time of, you know, the birth of a son, 3 days old, everybody's happy. The story suddenly turned very terrifying, as he explained in his opening monologue last night.
They did an echocardiogram, which is a sonogram of the heart, and found that Billy was born with a heart disease, something called tetralogy of Fallot with pulmonary atresia. It's hard to explain. Basically, the pulmonary valve was completely blocked, and he has a hole in the wall between the left and right sides of his heart. So we put the baby in an ambulance to Children's Hospital, Los Angeles, and on Monday morning, Dr. Starnes opened his chest and fixed one of the two defects in his heart. He went in there with a scalpel and did some kind of magic that I couldn't even begin to explain. He opened the valve, and the operation was a success. It was the longest 3 hours of my life. But it was a success.
They showed a picture of little Billy before the surgery, completely covered with, you know, it looked like 50 different cables, wires, tubes. It's like one of the most heartbreaking pictures you'll ever see of a little three-day-old infant wired up like that. And then after this surgery, a smiling Billy, a happy little Billy.
How about that?
Amazing. He did say that Billy's going to have two more heart surgeries to completely repair the heart defect. But the prognosis is all very good.
It's nothing but a miracle. A little baby, three right? hours old, and yeah. they open up his chest and fix his heart. It's crazy.
Dr. Oz was one of Jimmy's guests last night, and we're talking about this. And one of the things that you know, they really hit home is, like, not that long ago, this surgery would have been impossible.
Yep.
We just didn't know enough to perform this kind of surgery. So, you know, technology, you know, a lot of people say, oh, technology, I don't like it, blah, blah, blah. This is part of that technology, which is
saving lives every day.
Amazing. And also, I give Jimmy Kimmel so much credit. He literally, the first words out of his mouth on stage last night were telling this story. You could hear how painful it was for him to tell this story. I give him so much credit for, you know, being able to share that. I'm sure it's kind of cathartic for him to, you know, to talk about this and share this with his audience.
I just think the show has taken its toll on him. I mean, God, you know, Rickles, this.
Right.
The poor guy's crying more than The View. I love Kimmel, and I love how real he is, and I think it's great. He also talked about funding and health care and politics, and I'll play that cut for you a little bit later, but good for Kimmel for standing up, and God bless him and the family.
Yeah, that's like, I can't even imagine how tough that must be, a three-day-old child having to go through
this
that.
Crazy. So,
I was just worried about you coughing when we started the segment today.
Oh, I thought I hit the cough button. Sorry. I'm fine.
You're so professional.
And happy birthday, Larry Potash.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
844 as we continue. I'm the Steve Cochran Show. CLTV joins us at 9. I want to play that other piece of tape from Jimmy Kimmel's show last night, but before we do that, I need Sandberg to be involved in this. I want to explain how we're going to play Stump the Show. And I think this could be a huge hit. You know, we invent a lot of games, and then we abandon the games. But, Andrea, Stump the Show means stump any of us on the show, or all of us.
Right. And can we help each other, or is this just, you know?
Yeah.
We're all on the same team.
Yeah. So, 312-981-7200. You need to call now, or you're going to be on hold for a few minutes here. But then we'll just go in order, and if you stump the show, you win something off the prize list. However, if we answer the question you ask correctly, you have to send us something of value from your house. You know, you describe a few things, and Andrea, you might go, I'd like the vase. And you got to pack it up and send it to us.
How about, like, the family pet?
I actually do have a vase I could send.
Well, you're a member of the show.
Vase.
No, they have to send us.
They send you the vase.
Well, I have
the
a vase listeners. That I don't want. Why don't I just get rid of it and kill two birds?
Well, we have prizes.
It's funny because I've been trying to get rid of this vase.
We have prizes to hand out, not the crap from your house. No. But the crap from your listener house, that's what we could get if we actually answer the questions correctly. 312-981-7200 if you think you can stump the show.
Are any of the questions off limits, Steve?
No, no questions.
No
off
subject
limits.
Off limits.
Well, maybe
no.
We should have
not even
some
personal
yeah,
questions.
I was going to say, like, personal stuff.
No, deeply personal, painful questions are always welcome.
Oh, man.
Wow. Keep it clean, though. How about?
And, Andrea, you'll be in charge of telling me which callers go first because, you know, I can't decide. I love all the listeners equally.
You got it.
But, Sandberg, you got to watch me because I'll give away anything on this prize list. You're going to be keeper of the prizes, and you'll tell me which ones we're going to give away.
Okay. I can do that.
Before we get to traffic, here's Jimmy Kimmel, continuation of what Dean and I were talking about. Kimmel last night on his show talking about how doctors saved his son's life and what we're doing with politics and healthcare in this country.
We were brought up to believe that we live in the greatest country in the world, but a few years ago, millions and millions of us had no access to health insurance at all. You know, before 2014, if you were born with congenital heart disease like my son was, there was a good chance you'd never be able to get health insurance because you had a pre-existing condition. You were born with a pre-existing condition. If your parents didn't have medical insurance, you might not live long enough to even get denied because of a pre-existing condition. If your baby is going to die, and it doesn't have to, it shouldn't matter how much money you make. I think that's something that whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or something else, we all agree on that, right? I mean, we do. We need to make sure that the people who are supposed to represent us, the people who are meeting about this right now in Washington, understand that very clearly. Let's stop with the nonsense. This isn't football. There are no teams. We are the team. It's the United States. Don't let their partisan squabbles divide us on something every decent person wants. We need to take care of each other. I saw a lot of families there, and no parent should ever have to decide if they can afford to save their child's life. It just shouldn't happen. Not here. So, anyway, thank you for listening. I promise I'm not going to cry for the rest of the show.
It breaks your heart. Just breaks your heart listening to it.
I was going
to
say, literally, we're all looking at each other right now, tearing up. He's so right, and it's so hard to listen to, but he's so right.
He is right. But if Jimmy Kimmel can't find a show or two where he doesn't cry, he's gonna have to, you know, he's gonna be put in a home.
Right, Don Rickles, remember?
Oh yeah, but God bless him, man. And Jimmy Kimmel, you know, he's right about it shouldn't be the people who make the most money get to save their kids. I mean, he makes $10 million a year, and good for him, so he can afford great health care. But everybody ought to be able to save their baby. Come on, I mean, we're very well done by Kimmel. All right, break for traffic. We'll come back. Let's line up those callers, 312-981-7200. You think you can stump this show? I don't know. Yeah, I like your chances. Get in line now. We'll take some calls next and give away some stuff on 720 WGN. Mary.
Traffic sponsored by Metra. On the Edens 32 outbound, inbound 26 outbound side of the Kennedy, still about 55 to O'Hare, and an hour 10 coming in from the airport, 42 locals, 30 in the express. Inbound Eisenhower, an hour 15 from 53, 48 from Mannheim, slow north into 290. Outbound 40 to Mannheim. Inbound Stevenson, 54 from the tri-state, heavy delays into 83. Inbound Ryan's 20 from 95th, the Bishop Ford. From Sibley, 57 delays from 130th. Accident Route 30 in Larkin still there. Accident just cleared Tri-State northbound past 95th. Little slow still on 355 into 63rd. And on Lakeshore Drive from Bryn Mawr to North Avenue, CTA Red Line operating with some minor delays due to earlier mechanical problems. Metra's 96% on-time dependability helps you get ready to work on time no matter what's happening on the roads. Find the station nearest you at metrorail.com. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Pre-approved by Acunet Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Mother's Day is coming up. Sherry's Berries is offering huge freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 plus shipping and worth every penny. Right now you could double the berries for just $10 more, and you ought to, because you might be in a situation, I'm just saying this isn't me, it's someone else. But let's say you host the number one talk show in Chicago, and let's say you happen to not be around the morning the Sherry's Berries come in from the sponsor, and let's say your producer takes them and eats them all.
Steve?
I mean, if that's the case and you have a second box of Sherry's Berries for $10, then you're covered.
Steve,
right?
I was going to do this as the big story for 9:30, but there were some berries that came in, and Sandberg shared them with all of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of you, not including me.
I know. Mm-hmm. We saved one for you, but Mary,
really, where is it?
Well, Mary ate it. We didn't want it to wilt.
Yeah, it would have gotten kind of old.
But she shared. She shared.
Where was all the sharing going on?
Yeah, it's America's fastest growing game show that we just made up. Stump that Steve Cochran show. That's right, stump the program. Any question about anything? We start with Larry in Vernon Hills. We got to go quick here. All right, Larry, what's the question?
Well, you guys are news people, so you'll probably know this, but who was the last president to miss the White House correspondence dinner?
Last president to miss the White House correspondence dinner. We go around the room. Anybody have any ideas? Anybody want to jump on this? I think I know, but I'm not sure.
I'm thinking Reagan.
I heard this somewhere.
All right, what do you
I'm
going to
go Reagan. We're going to go Reagan, Larry.
You guys are right. He missed it because he was recovering from his gunshot wound.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Yes. All right, so Larry, what do you have of value in your house that you're going to send us?
I have an old litter box I can send you. Oh.
No, nothing gross.
All right, Larry, hold the line. Give Larry something for being on the show.
I'm going to give Larry a $25 gift card to Pequod's Pizza in Chicago and Morton Grove, just dubbed the best pizza in Illinois by the Daily Meal.
Yummy.
Andrea, where are we going next?
Let's go to Jim in Bensenville.
Jim is in Bensenville. Jim, what is your question?
I want to know how old, or see if you guys know, how old John Lacoste was when he stopped breastfeeding.
Like when he was breastfeeding...
With his as a child.
Do you mean John Dukos? John Dukos?
I'm going to go
six. Musical director John Dukos. John Dukos, I believe he was 27. Is that accurate?
No, he was 17.
17?
Oh. Sandberg, what's this creep one?
I'm going to give him an
apt. How does he know that?
An apt gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com.
Thank you very much, creepy listener. All right, next, Andrea.
All right, Ron, let's go to Ron.
Ron, what's the question?
Can you name the seven victims in a St. Valentine's Day massacre?
Oh. All right, wait.
What?
John Dillinger. Yeah, there I got John Dillinger.
There's only six more.
John Bulger wasn't one of them.
Oh. What?
John Dillinger.
Bulger.
So Bob Smith.
No.
This
I can do. If I had time, but we don't have time.
All right, so he's going to get an apt gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. Visit the store in Glenview or online at abt.com.
What's the answer, Ron? Go.
James Clark.
Okay.
Reinhard Schwimmer.
Yeah.
John May. Frank Guzenberg. Yeah. Pete Guzenberg. Adam Heyer. And Albert Weinschenk.
All right. There you go. Congratulations, everybody. What a weird selection of callers.
One more. Marty. Let's go to Marty.
Marty. All right, let's go to Marty. Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone.
I'm Marty. I think I got a female. Marty, what is your question?
When is my wedding anniversary?
When is your wedding anniversary?
Yeah, my wedding anniversary.
All right.
I'm going to go with this Friday because it's top of mind. She brought it up, so I'm going to go with this Friday, which is May. What is it? May 5th?
May 5th.
Marty?
Close but no cigar.
What's the answer?
We got married August 14th, but we did get engaged May 6th.
That's close.
All
right, so Marty, you're going to get a pair of tickets to the Tony Award-winning musical Disney's Mary Poppins, playing through May 28th at the Mercury Theater in Chicago. Bring the whole family and spend a jolly holiday with Mary Poppins and an irresistible cast of characters. Tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com or 773-325-1700.
Andrea, I think you can agree that was a very odd selection, but a big finish by Marty.
Yeah, huge.
Big finish.
Successful first episode of
really?
Stump the Show.
Yeah, well, you know, success is in many colors.
That's right.
CLTV will join us in a second on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
Elise Kling standing by. She's going to join us in just a second. We're going to talk some money. But before we get that, Trump's been tweeting again. Here's Andrea.
Oh, Steve, Trump tweeting about 45 minutes ago. And I quote, Either elect more Republican senators in 2018 or change the rules now to 51%. Our country needs a good shutdown in September to fix mess. Exclamation point, end quote.
What the hell is he talking about?
Our country needs a good shutdown. So again, I'm quoting.
Shut down the government.
Yes.
Oh, God. You know.
Thoughts? Comments?
Yeah.
Republicans have the White House and Congress. Why?
Yeah, and can't get anything done. You can't have more than control than control all the branches of the government and still can't get anything done. And the Democrats are no better. Washington is just such a mess. Thank God Springfield's got it all figured out. Let's go live to Elise Glink now. You know, you and your husband run a business.
We run a couple of businesses.
If you hired someone like Donald Trump and that employee behaved this way, what would you do?
Well, the person who is the craziest that we hired, we fired within 24 hours. Within 24 hours, she had my nice, happy office. The infighting was tremendous, beyond belief. We couldn't have it. So within 24 hours, she was gone. She caused so much trouble in 24 hours. I was actually on a business trip in Los Angeles, and Sam called me and said, get on the phone. We have to fire her right now. That was it.
Well, and that's the thing about this. I understand that because of the Electoral College, Donald Trump is the president of the United States. That's all well and good.
He's not the emperor, though.
He's not the emperor, and he's not the king. And someone has to be – there needs to be a Secret Service agent in charge of throwing himself in front of his mouth when he's going to open it and say something stupid. And I know that means he'd be doing a lot of diving. But come on. These last 3 days have been ridiculous.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine what's going on in his head right now. And to compound that, obviously whatever he learned in his history class, they should, like, close that school down because he didn't learn much about history. He keeps saying things that are astonishing.
Frederick Douglass and Andrew Jackson have got a place in the suburbs together. I don't know if you know that.
They're happily married, yes.
All right, so tell me about Wall Street in regards to Trump. Still holding on?
Oh, well, they're loving this because what Wall Street has now seen from Donald Trump is nothing but good news, except that yesterday or the day before he said he was going to break up the banks. But they managed to laugh that off as being just another one of his crazy ideas. But in the meantime, getting rid of the regulations is good for the banks and good for Wall Street. Getting rid of health care costs and required health care costs, that seems to be a good idea. Lowering the taxes all the way down to, I think, what did they want to do it? Like 35% to 15%. So, you know, Wall Street is thrilled with what's going on here. Now, if any of it gets passed, we'll probably hit Dow 30,000.
Do you see any changes coming that would be negative for people that are, you know, deeper in the market than, say, just their 401k?
I can't really tell you where exactly, but most of the gains that we're seeing right now are concentrated in just a few different companies. So, for example, NASDAQ, which hit 6,000 the other day for the first time after dropping to, you know, it hit 5,000 in 2001, and then it took 15 or 18 years to get all the way back to 5,000, and now it's at 6,000. But really, there's a concentration of about six companies that accounts for a big chunk of that gain. And it's companies like Facebook and Apple and, you know, Google. And so when you take the top tech companies right off the top, a lot of other companies are doing fine and they've done okay on the stock market, but it's not like you're, you know, going to be retiring in 10 days on that. So be careful.
Yeah, exactly. And the regulations that the Trump administration wants to get rid of are the bets that Wall Street is making for the future. Wall Street doesn't, you know, bet on the past. They don't really bet on today necessarily, but they try to bet on the future. That's what all those analysts get paid the big money for. But boy, I tell you, with the money they're playing with on Wall Street and the risk of what Donald Trump is going to say or do next, it does seem like a little scary to continue to ride this horse.
I would suggest that people, if you're going to invest, you've got your company's 401k, you know, try not to time market sector funds, for example. So usually in a 401k, you're going to get maybe 10, 15, 20 different offerings, maybe 30. But usually there's a total stock market fund, index fund, a total bond fund, and a total international fund. These are index mutual funds. So of all of your 401k funds, they'll be the cheapest to own, and they'll generally perform the best over time. And that's really where your money's safest. It means that you won't hit the very highs. You also shouldn't hit the very lows, because each of those will be extremely well diversified.
Let's talk about interns. What? Nice transition, Steve.
we were talking Wall Street, and now...
Well, this is where it started, right? On Wall Street, there were a bunch of interns who weren't getting paid that filed a lawsuit that I don't think it necessarily became a class action suit, but a bunch of people got involved, whether they were separate suits or not, and eventually changed the rules where interns started to get paid. We got rid of an intern program here that was a success for decades and, you know, had to pay interns if they were going to come to work here. I'm not a fan of it, and I'll tell you why I'm not a fan of it. Not because kids shouldn't get paid for work they're doing, but because the experience you gain from these internships, because I think we ought to cover your parking, whatever else it takes to get to work, but the experience you gain is invaluable. And because companies started paying for interns, there were less slots available. And my guess would be Tribune Media does, I don't know, Andre, what would you say, 30% of what we used to do in regards to kids working here?
Probably, and that's probably a generous number, but yeah, I would say maybe 25-30%.
Because it becomes a line on a budget, and it becomes a business question as opposed to just bringing in kids from colleges and getting them to work. Mm-hmm. So I'm not wild about the idea, but it's working out pretty well if you see the Washington Post today.
For how many kids? I wish I were working at some of these companies. I think that those interns are making more than I do. So... the median, this was a great story in the Washington Post this morning. You can see it online. Glassdoor, which is a job site, looked at the 25 best-paying companies for internships, and this is the median summer worker. All of the 25 companies on the list pay their median salaried interns, because that's what they are, an average of $4,500 a month.
That's seriously?
That's a median.
Oh,
that means
gosh.
Facebook, the median is 8,000. Microsoft, the median, same amount interns are paid. Above that is below that. And it's pretty close, because I have some inside knowledge of this. And so for like Facebook and Google and Airbnb and Apple and some of the others, they just have like maybe a $1,000 window on either side if you've had more experience or you have a certain kind of skill set. But the median amount at Facebook is 8,000. And many of the tech companies give extra money for housing allowances or travel or gift certificates. They pay, you're treated as a full-time employee. You get all the health benefits, too. It's really
insane.
Remarkable.
So, I mean, well, but here's the thing. It lasts for whatever time you're the intern, a couple of months, I suppose, right? But some of these kids are semester long, aren't they?
I think most of them are three-month programs, but I can't speak to all of it. So, for example, ExxonMobil is the number three on the list. They pay their interns a median amount of $6,507 a month, $6,500. Salesforce is right under that at $6,450. Bloomberg, I'm sure it's not the TV side, but maybe it is, $6,400 for Bloomberg. And then, you know, the list goes down, and again, BlackRock, $5,400. So most of them are companies that you've heard of. One you might not have heard of, MathWorks.
What is MathWorks?
I don't know. I didn't look it up.
Sounds like one of those
do they do your math homework? I don't know.
Yeah, like tutoring?
I'm sure they're a data deals? I'm sure they're a data company of some sort.
Hmm. Well, I mean, good for the kids that get them, but I would guess that those are incredibly competitive slots. Especially at places like Facebook or Microsoft, and they probably don't have very many of them that they hand out. Maybe they do. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, clearly these companies are profitable. The banks are on this list as well. Deutsche Bank is on it. AIG, the insurance giant, is on it. Bank of America is on it. And so, you know, when you look at these numbers, and the difference is big, right? Bank of America is paying $4,500. Facebook's at $8,000. It shows you where the shift in our economy has gone and where the dollars and the profits are really flowing. There was another story in Wall Street yesterday, I think maybe in the Wall Street Journal, about how we've got Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg, the CEO and COO of Facebook, who are right now wandering around the country. She's doing a book tour, and he's deciding to meet everybody in every state in the country who voted for Trump. And it's like, okay, well, your profits were quintuple, so I guess we're okay with that. And that's the answer that Wall Street had.
You know what? It's an upside-down world, kids, and I'm just living in it. Elise Glink, thinkglink.com for all things of Elise. And you'll hear often filling in on the noon hour on a Saturday noon business show as well. Thank you, Elise.
It's a pleasure, Steve. Enjoy the tweets.
Pleasure is all mine. Christopher Titus, one of the funniest guys you'll ever see, standing by. We'll get to him in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
When do we start giving out trophies for sucking? Because I would have been a legend. We'd had a 20-foot mantle at our house, man, over the fireplace. There's where I sucked at baseball. There's where I sucked at football. There's where I sucked at soccer. There's where I dominated for 10 years sucking at speaking English to anyone of the female sex. Proud of that one. They had to retire my silver vinyl reflective bomber jacket. Said Corvette right on it. Anybody think it's a good idea to get a trophy for losing? It's not a good idea. That's a communist idea, man. You don't get a trophy for losing. You get pizza and you shut your ass up. That's what you get.
I have a simple wish for you. A simple wish. Those of you who have supported this show so well, made us number one. My wish for you is that you're at the Rouse Center Friday night at 8 o'clock to see Christopher Titus on stage. Most of you know Titus. For those of you who don't, there's nobody funnier. There's nobody that's a better writer. And I think one of the things I really like about Titus, great follow on Twitter, by the way, as well. But one of the things that Andre, I really like about Titus is he shares a really short fuse for stupid like I do.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he shares an inappropriate amount of material.
No. No, because I think you get to a certain point in life, and Titus, you can correct me if I'm wrong, where you just can't do stupid anymore. And thank God you got a place to talk about it so your head doesn't explode.
Yeah, I would say that. This new show, it's called Amerageddon. The new show is there's a big section specifically about stupid. It's you know, right now in America, first of all, we're the smartest mammal walking the planet. So right there, no one should be stupid. But everyone has a phone, which means you have all the knowledge from the beginning of time in your back pocket, just literally right there. If you have to work so hard in 2017 to be stupid with a screen everywhere you walk. If you're stupid in 2017, that's on you. It's no one else's fault, man. So I'm in a mood about this new show. I wanted to bring the country back together, so I wrote an entire show about politics. So it's going to be great.
Well, yeah, because you've got gutless, cowardly Democrats on one side, and you've got power-hungry Republicans on the other who can't do anything with the power that they have. And you got a guy in the White House who didn't want to be there. So really, what could be wrong with that system?
Yeah, the ineptness is, well, I'm an independent. I believe in the death penalty, but I believe the electric chair should be solar powered. I try to walk the line.
Which, by the way, if you're going to get sentenced to that system, do it in Seattle. You're going to be around a lot longer. Again, it's the Rouse Center on Friday night at 8 o'clock. One of the things I love about Titus is the writing. And, you know, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but the way you craft a joke, the way you write a chunk of the show is really, really important and special. And, you know, I sit there like I'm analyzing you like John Madden, but I'm telling you, you're one of the best ever, man. And I feel that way about you, but that's why I want people to get out to the Rouse Center and see you.
That's nice, man. I've got 7 90-minute specials now. It's all fear and desperation. That's all it is, man. You know, I'm afraid. I was not a smart student. I didn't really graduate high school. I was let go. I'm the only guy I know that was laid off from my senior year. So this is my only job. It's the only thing I'm qualified for. So I just keep pounding it out, man. But the new show is really good. The new show. I tried to. It was so weird to try to find a centrist place with this new show, because it's about politics, about what's going on with the presidency, what's going on with the Democrats and the Republicans. And I didn't realize it, because there's some jokes about the new president. But when I was breaking it in, I was, I don't check where I tour. I just go, where am I going tomorrow? And they go, you're going to Alabama. Yeah. So I broke the show in Alabama. And you know,
wow.
Kevlar is expensive. Yeah, Kevlar is so expensive.
Wow. So yeah. They loved you.
Well, the thing is, it made me, the great news about that was, first I was scared, and then I realized that the great news about that was that even if I go after the president for some of the silliness that he's done, I had to find a way to do it so everybody was in, and which really made the show universal. I think that's the hard part, I go after both sides. Here's the problem with me. When we got down to the final four for the election, I couldn't believe it. I was like, is this all we got, America? Really? Is this it?
Yeah, right.
And every guy on the planet knows a guy like Ted Cruz who just walks the earth with this sentence playing in his head. No one's going to wipe a booger on me again. No one's going to wipe a booger on me again. And if they do, I'm going to tell. then you had Hillary, who's got this wake of bodies behind her, allegedly. Allegedly. I say allegedly because I'm
right, allegedly.
It's just one car accident. Yeah. and then you had Trump, who's just this crazy orange rodeo clown. And then you had Bernie, who just at the end just came across like a grumpy model train enthusiast. It was just the weirdest group of people I've ever seen.
330 million in the people in this country, and that's your final four.
Yeah, and that's how we ended up. And I think everybody felt that, no matter what side you're on, which is another thing, they made us pick sides.
Right.
They made us, like, everybody believes something about somebody. Every conservative sleeps with a sister, and every liberal eats kale salad at the butt of his boyfriend. It's not true. And I've tried to kind of point out that we as Americans, it's we. It's not us and them, the people. It's we the people. So that's the whole point of it.
Well, that's the thing. And that's why I want you to see it, because there's a guy here in Illinois named Mike Madigan. And he's the last controlling, hiding, big brother politician in any state government in the country. And he's literally choking this state to death. And he's a Democrat. Trump's allegedly a Republican, but I'm banging on Trump every day like you are. So you got to live in the middle, because the far right and the far left, they're not the solution. They're the problem.
Well, that's the problem. Is we all went far right and far left. We all, there isn't, and most of the people, like, I tour the whole country. Most of the people are in the middle. That's how it is,
right?
But anything to the point, like Hillary, the only people that are dumber than the current administration are the people that lost to the current administration. I mean, how was she campaigning? And what were those square jackets? Was she running as Lego Hillary? What the hell was going on with her?
I'd love to see Lego Hillary, but, she's in the woods. At Titus Nation on Twitter, like I said, he's a great follow. That's TITUS Nation, at Titus Nation on Twitter. And if people want to see, the old Fox show Titus, is it anywhere online?
It's not, man. Fox, we were going to try to reboot it on Hulu and Amazon, and then Fox said no, they owned it. Told me they own my life, which is the weirdest thing, man. But yeah, so I'm at the round.
Yeah, because I'm telling you.
Yeah, it was good. It was great. It still holds up. Actually, the box, it still goes for like $150, which, I didn't end up in the discount bin, at Walmart or Target. That made me happy. I was fine with that.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it again. It's Christopher Titus. Again, on Friday night, do yourself a favor. Take a friend. Take a few friends. If you don't have any friends, call me, and I'll set you up with a few. It's one of my many services at the Rouse Center, R-A-U-E, Rouse Center, on Friday night, where we did our New Year's Eve show for years. It's a great group there. And have fun, man. Love having you on the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for laughing when you were supposed to. I'll talk to you later, bud.
Well, I got the script. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fire. Coming up,
9:45. Got a few minutes here with our friend Orion Samuelson. And
good morning.
How are you, sir?
Doing well, thank you. Slowly but surely recovering, and now walking without a cane.
Very good, very good. Though the cane and a top hat's a hot look for you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did get several compliments. They liked it, so I may keep it. I don't know.
Yeah, plus I find it to be a handy weapon.
Yes.
I want to talk about Sonny Perdue in just a second, but in the vein of a Sean Spicer briefing, we do have the media assembled here in the room, and I'm wondering if you'd be willing to take a question from one of the assembled media.
Yes, anytime.
All right, sir, identify yourself.
Steve Grzanich, WGN News. Orion Samuelson, are you there?
Yes.
So the Purdue University and CME Group folks have released their index of sentiment today, farmer index sentiment. It's up. Is that good, or are they still, are farmers still concerned moving forward with the economy?
Well, farmers are always concerned. The two major topics at coffee shops across rural America every morning are markets and weather. And, yeah, there's always concern about markets, particularly when there is uncertainty about what's going to happen to our trade agreements and our trade program. Because without that, U.S. agriculture will have to shut down about half of the farms and ranches. So there is concern, but it's springtime, and springtime brings hope, new crop year, putting seed in the ground, and it turns into food. And so I'd say there's little concern about the rainy weather, but we're right on target with a five-year average of planted corn here in the U.S., according to the numbers released yesterday, and 34% of the nation's corn crop planted. Now, if the rain continues until May 15th or 20th, then there would be a lot of concerned people about getting the crop in.
Yeah, and I don't need to tell the farmers because they're up early, but you and Mr. Grzanich do a nice job on the business hour every morning at 5 when you're on. What day do you feature Big O the most, Steve?
He's on every morning in the 50s segment, so at 50 after the hour. And then on Fridays, we have a longer Q&A session where he's with us there. So every Friday is a big segment.
Right.
I enjoy it.
We're glad to have you back, too, O.
And, oh, I don't know if you're taking any more questions, but I have one.
Okay, I'm ready.
Steve Cochran, Weekly Reader. Sonny Perdue, the new ag secretary, yesterday announced a change, a loosening of restrictions on school lunch menus, which seems on the surface to be a good idea. Do you like it or not?
I like it because ever since the school lunch program menu was changed back in the Obama administration, I talked to a lot of high school managers of the school lunch program, and it really tied their hands and what could be done and how food could be prepared and served. And so I haven't looked at the rules in detail on what the secretary released yesterday, but I think the school lunch industry will welcome the changes. High schools and grade schools that have school lunches, I think, will welcome the changes. It gives them an opportunity to prepare food that students eat, because a lot of it gets thrown away in the school lunch programs.
In general, more fats, less grain.
Right. Yes.
So I guess more proteins, right? And
I think so, yeah.
And, you know, still get your vegetables in there, but not forcibly.
And probably, too, chocolate milk, right, Orion? So they will be able to have more
strong. Yeah. Yeah, because they drink chocolate milk and they weren't drinking regular milk. So, I think it's good move. What?
Chocolate cows.
Chocolate milk comes from chocolate cows still? I mean, is that
Holstein legal? Cows, yeah. Black Holstein cows.
Yeah, so I thought. let's go around the room now and tell me something you remember, because, like, everybody remembers their favorite teacher or a teacher who caused trauma in your life. Everybody remembers something about their school lunches. And for me, it was the pizza that tasted like an old shoe at Dryden Central High School in upstate New York. Andrea, what was the one that stood out for you?
You know, what I really enjoyed were the tater tots.
Well, the tater tots are good, but what about one that frightened you?
One that frightened me? The Salisbury steak.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't. I love steak. I love a good steak, but I don't like the processed steak with that nasty gravy on it that tasted like shoe leather.
How about you, Barry Vanderbilt?
Oh, I love the cheeseburger at Willowbrook High School.
It was, again, our cheeseburger awesome. Tastes like, I don't know if you've heard this before, an old shoe.
I liked it, though. I don't know what it was. It was just really good and kind of
soggy. Did you have anything you didn't like?
No, the pizza was really good. It was like rubber, but it was really good. No, I stayed away from the other stuff.
It's good rubber pizza.
See, Vanderbilt grew up in a house of 47 kids, so she'd eat anything when she got to school.
Elementary school, I had to run home for lunch every day. I couldn't eat at school, I had to run home. I had a half hour.
Wasn't your pizza, didn't you guys, don't you remember the pizza being the shape of like a long rectangle?
Square.
Yeah.
Ours was more rectangular. I mean, it was a big piece of pizza for a kid.
And Orion, here's another technical question. Doesn't Salisbury steak come from Salisbury cows?
I think that's true, too.
No,
I don't think that's true. No, it comes from ground beef.
Dave Ennett, what about lunch for you in D.C.?
Venison and buffalo.
No.
Yeah, we'd go out and hunt.
Yeah, as you know, the buffalo and the venison, the deer would run wild in the streets.
Yes.
No, Dave, when you went to school in the era of, in the Fonzie era, I would guess the lunches were probably pretty good.
I always brought lunch. I never ate the lunchroom lunches. We didn't have them in elementary school. By the time I got to junior high school, I was used to bringing lunch.
Probably
and I'd bring a salad, nice green salad, you know.
You brought a salad to high school?
No.
In a perfectly creased bag.
Yes, that I did.
And a thermos full of soup.
Yeah, and Sandberg and Jake are so young, their lunches in school came on apps.
You know what? I will say one thing. I went to a Catholic school, and we would have these charity days where you paid $1 for Sloppy Joe Day. It was so gross because they used the styrofoam plates, and the Sloppy Joe had that orange juice that would be all over the white styrofoam
plate.
Yeah, that's
the good stuff.
And it would run onto the chips, and it would touch. And then they served that orange McDonald's juice in the big igloo coolers.
Yeah, like the high C.
It was the grossest.
You should have had your Bounty paper towels with you.
We could have used that.
By the way, this is bad news, Orion, for John DeCoste. He likes the high C from McDonald's, and they're doing away with it.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst thing you could be drinking.
Really?
They're getting rid of it, yeah.
Yeah, they're getting rid of it. All right, now, when you went to school in your one-room schoolhouse, I would assume there was not a kitchen attached where they made you hot lunch. You were probably bringing it from home, right?
We were carrying it from home, and one of the best Christmas presents I ever got was a Roy Rogers lunchbox because it contained in the top of the box a thermos bottle.
Yeah.
So when you opened it up, in the top there was a thermos bottle. You pulled it out and used it, and it was a Roy Rogers lunchbox.
Didn't get any better than that.
Do you guys remember your first lunchboxes?
I do. Mine was Emergency 51. Remember that?
Oh, I do remember that.
I had Batman.
You had Batman? I had a Hello Kitty, and then I had a Dukes of Hazzard one.
Right.
Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
I had a paper bag.
You sound like Charlie Brown. I had a rock.
Dave, you probably had a Dwight D. Eisenhower, didn't you?
No, but I think I had I know I had a Flintstones lunchbox.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And, we all managed to survive and get into show business. I don't know if there's any tie there or not. But, all right, so listen, we've solved many of the world's problems as we do here. Our best to you in the next few days before we talk to you again.
Thank you. I'm always ready to take questions, so thank you.
And we want to remind people, Saturday morning radio, Saturday TV, you're all over the place.
Well, Saturday we go from 5 to 6 o'clock, and that gives us time to talk to people. The Secretary of Agriculture of Wisconsin joined us last week to talk about the milk war with Canada. And then Bill Northey, the Secretary in the state of Iowa, sat in on the Farm Roundtable meeting in the White House a week ago, so we were able to talk to him. So, yeah, we have a little more time Saturday morning to do that.
And TV all over the country still?
TV still a national show this week in agribusiness that's carried on DirecTV and a lot of independent television stations. Max Armstrong and I have been doing that show for 11 years. And I started the show before that, U.S. Farm Report, back in 1975. So, yeah, we've been practicing for a few years.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, if he continues, this kid, Orion's going to have himself quite a career.
I'm working on it.
All right, at 9:55. Oh, and Annie Maxfield said hi to you, by the way. She was on earlier today.
Well, thank you.
Your soon-to-be cohort on the Walk of Fame. We'll take a break, come back, wrap it up, say goodbye for today to our friends at CLTV. And don't forget the run with Rowan Anna at 3 and 720 WGN.